Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Dudes in a Kitchen with Tyler Florence
and Wells Adams, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, time for another episode of Two Dudes in a Kitchen. It's Wells Adams and Tyler Florence hanging out with you. It's early in the week, which means one thing and one thing only. We are taking fan questions. Tyler, you are back from your travels. Thank God, because your microphone on the road sucked.
So, big shout out to Critical Content, the production company that puts together the Great Food Truck Race. It was one of the best seasons that I can remember, and it was our 17th season. We've been shooting that show for 15 years. I mean, so it's the same production company, same production crew, for the most part, for the last like decade or so. And my God, do we have a good time? You know, so it's the same guys, same crew, same everything. And we just kind of clock out from reality, go on this crazy fun road trip, shoot a little television, go eat in these crazy cool little restaurants and just have a good time. And it's grueling. I'm not saying it's not, TV's a lot of hard work, but it is this season in particular, because the crowds were fantastic. We went, I mean, like Lake Charles, Louisiana, all the Mobile, Alabama, all these places, like we had, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people come out. Fort Myers, Florida, my gosh, did we have a lot of people come out. And then the finale, which was kind of wild, because never in the history of the South Beach Food and Wine Festival or Food Network have they ever shot a television show at the South Beach Food and Wine Festival until now. So we shot the finale at the South Beach Food and Wine Festival in front of everybody, and it was just an absolute blast. It was good.
Have you ever done an all-star season?
We did. Yeah, we did that. Gosh, maybe... season 13, I think, in San Francisco. We did that during the pandemic. It was great. We had, all the all-stars from all the previous winners. Mm-hmm. And then the grand prize was $100,000, not 50 grand, and they got a big belt.
That's very cool.
And it might be time to do it again too, because we've had, you know, so many fantastic teams kind of roll through. I did this interview with People Magazine when I was on the road, and the cultural impact of food trucks, of what the Great Food Truck Race has done, we have invented American street food. Mm-hmm. Because all over the world, there's different, you know, iterations of street food. And now food trucks are like a singular American experience, and they're fun. And so 10 years ago, when the show started, it was hard to have a conversation about food trucks because nobody got it and everybody thought they were gross.
Yeah.
And there was over 50,000 active food trucks in America, and we did that.
It's amazing.
Like, we did that.
Here's one thing though. They always have the grade of the restaurant and in the food truck. And I would venture to say that I see more A's in food trucks than I do in restaurants in town. I feel like they are actually cleaner because they're on the road. There's not like rats and cockroaches like living in the walls. Am I wrong about that?
I think in a lot of ways, right? It's a much, much smaller space. So in a lot of ways it's easier to clean up. It's like the entire, you know, a restaurant is, you know, 400 square feet, 300 square feet or whatever it is. I mean, it's tiny. Mm-hmm. But you could still realistically crank out the same amount of numbers that you would get out of a brick and mortar restaurant. Like if you go, you know, out to the ballpark on the weekend and into the busy city center during the week and catch the lunch rush and all this kind of stuff, you could easily do 200-400 covers a day.
Yeah.
And, you know, and really kind of figure it out. And if you have like two or three food trucks, you can make some money. We don't have one, just because we're so busy with the brick and mortar stuff, but, it makes so much sense in a lot of different, young startups that if they have a brand and a really good idea and a good, like V1 version of this grab and go thing, that's just banging mm-hmm. and they get it started someplace. And I think a food truck is so much fun, and every city in America has them now. And every city like tries to get them together on the weekends and have this like little food truck festival. And anyway, like long story short, the Great Food Truck Race this year, the season's going to start in June, and it's an 8-episode story arc. So it's going to wrap up probably towards the end of July, but it was so much fun. It was really, really good. You know, so anyways, a big shout out to Food Network. Thank you so much for, you know, like picking this up again and again and again. It's the gift that keeps on giving. And, big shout out to Critical Content, the production company out of Los Angeles. They just do such a great job making that show so much fun.
That's awesome. Well, we're glad to have you back. But unfortunately, in this episode, we are going to be traveling a little bit. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be going over to Ireland because St. Paddy's Day is right around the corner. You're listening to Two Dudes in a Kitchen.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Two Dudes in the Kitchen. It's Wells Adams and Tyler Florence hanging out with you. It's early in the week, which means we are doing fan questions and, you know, St. Paddy's Day, Tyler, is right around the corner. So Mel Vickers, 82, asks us this. With St. Paddy's Day coming up, can you share the best way to cook corned beef and how to make sure my cabbage is not wilty and mushy?
No, so is it Mel Vickers 82? That's the handle, or is Mel Vickers 82 years old?
I think that's their handle, but maybe also 82. Their age. But then they'd have to change it every year. So that doesn't make any sense. Maybe they were born in 82.
Maybe they were born in 82, right? Yeah. Okay, so yeah, corned beef and cabbage is one of those great dishes that you only seem to whip out once a year, like a turkey, right? Like no one's really cooking a bunch of turkeys, you know, the rest of the time of year, although you can easily get them. And corned beef and cabbage is kind of one of those fun dishes that has a really interesting historical significance, especially from the curing process, right? So corned beef and cabbage, it's a brisket and it's brined. And so in a lot of ways, when they would store food in a root cellar, in a cool root cellar, they would just store it in a salt brine and it would keep it preserved forever. And then you would just pull it out and cook it when you needed to. So it's kind of an interesting old, very, very old ancient style of cooking, which I think is really fun. It's not my favorite style of brisket, to be perfectly honest with you. Like I would much rather, like if you go with like a brisket in like a tomato sauce kind of thing, you know, that kind of feels like something you would have at Hanukkah, like a brown, you know, red wine kind of reduction thing. I think those are really great. And then my favorite style of brisket, of course, is just like barbecue, Texas style barbecue, low, slow, you know, nice smoky notes to it. I think that's a really good brisket. But corned beef is really, really great. And when it's done very well, I think it's kind of one of those special dishes that, you know what time of the year it is. You're just climbing out of the winter. It's St. Patrick's Day. It kind of feels like something that feels nice and special. And now you can buy most of the bits and pieces. I think the hardest part, because it's a very simple dish to make, to be honest with you, I think the hardest part is brining the brisket. But you can buy brined corned beef at the grocery store. So I think, do you want to start there? Where do you want to start?
You're the chef. You tell me. Let's start with, I guess you're buying the brined corned beef already. Because that's easy.
I always ask this question. Do you want the easy way or the hard way?
I want the easy way. And I think all the listeners do too.
Okay, fine. Okay. So I'm going to quickly talk to the hard way. And then we'll kind of get to the easy way. Because I think that's
about right. So do whatever you want to do.
So a brine is a salt solution, right? It's a salt and sugar solution, and it pickles and cures the meat. It's a way for, you know, storage, and you know, it's like confit, which is sort of a French technique where they would like cook things low and slow and fat, and then, you know, completely cover it, keep the oxygen off of it, and you would kind of pickle it and preserve it for cold winter, whatever it is, right? So, and inside this brine, there's a couple of things I think distinctively make it taste like corned beef. So it's going to be salt, sugar, coriander seed, which is delicious and lemony. It's one of my favorite spices, whole coriander seed, mustard seed, whole black pepper, allspice, marjoram, bay leaf. And then you got the brisket, and then what you want to do is you want to create the salt and sugar solution with the salt and the brown sugar and the water, and then stir that together. And then you want to take the spice mixes, add it to the brine itself, and then take the brisket, submerge it into the liquid itself, and then put a weight on top of it because it'll float and you want to keep it submerged. Right. Mm-hmm. So you can do this overnight. Listen, you could theoretically store it forever, I think in about 48 hours, 72 hours, it starts to go from like the perfect flavoring element into something that kind of feels rubbery, right? Mm-hmm. So it can be overcured and where it just kind of starts to feel tough. So I like to brine it for about 24 hours and then take it out, maybe a little longer, maybe 36 hours, but then we take it out. Okay. So now if you're going to go to the grocery store, you can easily find packages of brisket that are packed in brine, and you'll be able to see it, right? It'll be kind of floating around in this kind of pink solution. It also makes the pink, the brisket itself, bright pink, by the way, which is really pretty. So that's the difference between a slow roasted, slow smoked brisket, which has like that beautiful kind of gray color, versus a corned beef, which has that really pretty pink color, is the salting aspect of it. So the salt is what changes the color of the meat itself. Now, what you want to do is take it out of the brine. So you got the package, you cut it open, take it out, rinse the brine off the top of it because it's already done its job, right? So just kind of a quick little rinse under the water. And then you want to pat it dry and just leave it off and on a sheet tray with a paper towel and just try to dry it off, right? So then you want big chunky carrots, right? So you take carrots, you want to peel them and then kind of cut them into maybe 1.5-2-inch sticks, right? You want to take potatoes. Now I like small Yukon Gold potatoes. Pink skin new potatoes are always really kind of nice. Things that have, or they're more waxy than starchy. It's more of a waxy potato, right? Small little potatoes, right? Because they're just sweet. The sugar is really, really nice. And then you want cabbage, right? You want really great, a full firm head of Napa cabbage, which is really kind of nice. And then what I like to do is kind of cut it into how many sections of how versus how many people are coming over, right? So everyone's going to get a wedge, right? So everyone's going to get a fourth of a head of cabbage. Cause once you start to peel the outside leaves off, you're going to get this basketball shape or maybe a little bit smaller than that, volleyball. Mm. And you cut it in 4 pieces. And by the time you cook it, and I actually like to leave the root system attached to it. So it presents itself really well. And so that's going to go on the plate. Okay. So then you've got a big, huge, do you have like a big, huge Le Creuset pot, like an yeah. old grandma style thing? Okay, great. And so that's the next thing that I think everybody should really invest in is
like a Dutch oven.
A Dutch oven, exactly. Thank you. So something that kind of feels like, you know, cast iron, enamelware, pretty, let it get patinaed, let it get banged up, go buy a vintage one, you know, leave it out on the counter, fill it full of apples or whatever it is. And these like elements in your kitchen, I think always look really pretty, right? So a little bit of extra virgin olive oil on the bottom. Then you want to add your carrots and your onions. I forgot the onions. So it's going to be carrots and onions. And I like the onions in big chunks too, right? So nothing's really, this is going to break down into this really pretty leafy kind of vegetable presentation of like large cuts, potatoes, carrots, cabbage, onion, right? A little bit of extra virgin olive oil, add those to the bottom of the pot. You want to brown them up really, really well. And then you want to take the corned beef. Once you've rinsed it off, you want to put that on top of the vegetables and you want to put water on top of it. I like to cut a lemon, squeeze a lemon inside of that as well. And then you want to cover it. And then you want to just simmer it really, really low for about 3.5 hours. Really, really low. You could also take the entire Le Creuset and then put it to the middle shelf of an oven and put it on maybe like 325. That'll take a little bit longer, but it's one of those set it and forget it things in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And then you can go about and do your day. And I think that's really nice, right? When it comes out, the brisket is going to be sort of like fork tender. Now the magical broth that gets created with the carrots and the flavor of the potato and the cabbage itself, to me, it's really, really special. It's very clean. It's very simple. It's not a big flavor. You know, it's not a big flavor at all.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, what I like to do is actually make a little compound herb butter to drizzle on top of all the stuff, because I do think it needs a little fat. Sometimes it can come across as like a little lean. So I'll take whole butter, soften it, add whole grain mustard to that, which is really, really nice. Ooh. Right. Yep. And then fresh chopped parsley, fresh chopped mint is also really nice as well. Good flaky sea salt, fresh cracked black pepper, and make this kind of like soft butter, right? That you're going to plop right on top and kind of let it melt into all these things. Right. So then, you know, 3 hours later, the cabbage is nice and wilted, really lovely, sweet flavor. The carrots are a nice size shape. The potatoes are perfectly cooked. And then those are going to go into the bottom of the bowl. And then you're going to take the brisket out. You want to let it rest a little bit before you slice it. A couple of nice sort of, you know, pencil thick slices on top, and just sort of lay it over the vegetables. And the broth is the sauce. The broth is the sauce. So with a ladle, just kind of pour it right on top, and then a big dollop of, and serve it hot. And then a big dollop of this, you know, mustard butter on top of that. The parsley and the mint, it's so fresh and delicious. And just kind of let that melt into all of it. And then just salt and pepper. And I think you got something really special. It's kind of one of those nice dishes that you only crank out once a year.
Yeah.
If you can master that, I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And then the next day, some sandwiches?
Yeah, bro. I mean, let's make a Reuben. I mean,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I mean, it's not pastrami, it's corned beef, but
I know, but still.
Take all that stuff, chop it up. You know, it's not quite sauerkraut, but you could still make sort of like Thanksgiving leftovers make a really good sandwich at the end of the day. You could make sort of a mock Reuben with rye bread, Thousand Island dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, baby. Sliced corned beef on top of that.
Yep.
Boom. Take the leftover vegetables, kind of just give them a rough chop. Put those over top of that. A little bit of Swiss cheese.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Melt that, you know, baby.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then you pop that in the broiler and you let the cheese get all nice and melty. And I'm going to put another little dollop of Thousand Island dressing over top of that. And let's go.
Yeah. And maybe some of that herb butter with the mustard in there. Just saying.
Sure, man. Oh, my God. Yeah. Totally. I think that's really delicious. So guys, so there's, if you go on to foodnetwork.com, we should start propagating our own recipe collection. By the way, we're just sending traffic over to Food Network. But anyway, it's there. Because I'm not bragging, but I've written like tens of thousands of recipes for foodnetwork.com. But anyway, it's got 4.5 stars. You know, like everybody really, really loves it. It's a great recipe. It's a really good 101 recipe. And that's always been my sweet spot when it comes to creating great content, is I'm going to get you there in a technically perfect way.
Yeah.
And then what you want to do with it after that is totally up to you, but you've got the basics on lock.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to make that this year for sure. And then the next day when I'm hungover on St. Patty's Day, I'm going to make that sandwich.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
I deserve it. I think
I do. You do deserve it.
I deserve that.
You deserve something special, man. Now, when it comes to big days like this, is this something like corned beef and cabbage? Is this something you would want to make? Is that like, cause I just totally. Think some people, yeah.
I like the making that traditional thing during the holidays. Like, you know, like New Year's, it's black eyed peas. They're not that great, but like, I feel like you got to do it. Like, it's good luck, right?
You know? Yeah.
And this is one of those. One, I love St. Patty's Day. I love the ridiculousness of it all. Everyone just getting, you know, drunk, and they're, you know, they're dying rivers, places.
Yeah,
and it's crazy.
Yeah.
But I do love corned beef and cabbage. And I do love everything about, and also my wife is Irish. So this is something that we have to do.
Well, there you go. There you go. I mean, what would, if she were here right now and she was like, okay, that's kind of like not right or whatever. Is there any sort of like good family recipe on her side?
No, I don't think she's a very good Irish person. You know, like, I don't think she's a practicing Irish.
Yeah, right.
I do think that she would love this recipe. And I do think that, you know, it's simple enough that even my wife, who doesn't love to cook so much, I think would be able to tackle, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. The hard part about this is just brining the brisket, right?
Totally.
But if you can buy it at the grocery store, then...
Which you totally can.
Yeah, literally, you could have this in the pot in 15 minutes tops, and then you just let it simmer, and it smells great, and then that's it. Now, you could serve this with mashed potatoes. I think that'd be really nice, right? Now,
I do, too.
I feel like I'm burying the lead here. Now, I've been to Ireland a couple of times. We shot there at Food Network. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest dishes that you do use leftover corned beef and cabbage is a dish called Colcannon.
Okay.
Right? So that's like mashed potatoes with just stuff in it. So you would make a really good velvety smooth mashed potatoes and then chunk up the leftover corned beef, chop up the carrots, chop up the cabbage, chop up the whatever you got left over in there. Little baby turnips are also really, really lovely in that flavor profile. And then you fold it into the potatoes, and that's kind of like the dish by itself, right? And now the family that I got a chance to cook with, and this is going back, I don't know, a million years with Food Network, but they finish it with a big knob of butter, lots of olive oil, sea salt, and then a handful of fresh torn mint on top. And then it was just really, really special. It was a dish called Colcannon. And then it's kind of like, you know, the turkey sandwich version of the leftover fixin' stuff, but you just fold everything to mashed potatoes and go with it.
Okay. Can I throw out, like, I'm not a chef, but I've got an idea and I want to hear what you think about this.
Let's do it.
Colcannon, whatever you just described, that, but in like a pot pie situation.
Well, I mean, you could take all the vegetables and turn that into.
Or you put that
in shepherd's pie. You can make a shepherd's pie.
There you go. Boom. Oh, it already exists. Okay.
Listen, everything's been made before. If you Google search corned beef shepherd's pie, I'm a monkey. Somebody's made this before, right?
100%.
But you could take all the corned beef and the cabbage and the carrots and the potatoes and the turnips. And I like turnips. I mean, turnips are so really, those little small baby turnips and that, delicious. And then put that in the bottom of a baking dish, cover that with mashed potatoes, right? Maybe hit a little Parmesan cheese on top of that. You like that?
I just looked. There's over 750 recipes for corned beef and cabbage shepherd's pie.
There you go.
Dang it. I thought I was onto something.
Listen, I mean, you know, like people come to their own conclusions, you know, 100,000 times. When we write recipes for stuff more often, there is a version of that, but we kind of usually kind of come to those conclusions on our own. And then when we do write recipes, especially when we start writing cookbooks, everybody's laptop is closed. Mm-hmm. There are no cookbooks. We don't use anything. So when we write recipes, if they happen to be similar to somebody else's, it's by happenstance, but we're writing recipes from scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has been a lot of fun. I always love these episodes the most. Keep the questions coming in. If you want to send in an audio message or a video, we'd love that as well. If you see a new trend on the web that we need to know about, send it in. We're here to educate or debunk whatever you got. So let's keep it going. Roll into those DMs. As always, you can follow us on @2dudesinakitchen. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll be back on Thursday. Very excited for our next episode. Shayna Taylor will be coming on talking about her lifestyle brand, Shayna's Kitchen, as well as gut health and her organic brand of olive oil. She's got a crazy story where she was living in LA, said, "This isn't for me," decided to move to Italy, buy a place that's got a bunch of really old olive trees, and just completely started anew, changed her life. This is an episode you're not going to want to miss.
Yeah. If you're into this, like, you know, organic, biodynamic Italian, you know, big flowy dress at the sunset and a glass of Prosecco, and like this, you want to live the life. Her story is amazing. And I highly recommend you follow her on Instagram, because her posts are epic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun episode. Thank you guys all for listening. Tyler, as always, it's been a pleasure.
You too, bud.
See you guys next time.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Two Dudes in a Kitchen. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars.
We'll take that. And we'll see you guys next time.
See you next time.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.